Mute for second quarter 2026 earnings call. We'll be discussing while we will make statements regarding our business that may be considered forward-looking and applicable laws. Statements regarding our third quarter and fiscal 2026 results, management's expectations, financial and operational performance, and other statements regarding our plans, prospects, and expectations. These statements are not promises or guarantees and are subject to risks and uncertainties that cause them to differ materially from actual results. Information concerning those risks is available in our earnings press release distributed after the market closed and in our SEC filings. We undertake no obligation to update forward-looking statements except as required by law. Further, during the course of today's call, we refer to certain adjusted financial measures. Non-GAAP financial measures are in addition to, not as a substitute or in isolation from, GAAP measures. Additional information about these non-GAAP measures, reconciliation of non-GAAP to comparable GAAP measures, included in our press release and investor presentation provided today. Our press release, investor presentation, and other earnings materials are available on our investor relations website at investors.palantir.com. Over the course of the call, we will refer to various growth rates when discussing our business. The rates reflect year-over-year comparisons. Joining me on today's call are Alex Karp, Chief Executive Officer, Dom Sankar, Chief Technology Officer, Dave Glazer, Chief Financial Officer, and Ryan Taylor, Chief Revenue Officer and Chief. I'll now turn it over to Ryan to start the call.
Our Q2 results are unprecedented, but entirely unsurprising. The abrupt market shift in warning you about for delivered 93% year-over-year revenue, our highest ever. The story of this quarter is, once again, our U.S. business. It now comprises over 81% of total revenue, 115% year-over-year, 23%. Our U.S. commercial revenue growth accelerated to 149%, 28% sequentially. And our U.S. government, remarkable 90%. These top-line results are accompanied by $1.22 cash flow. Close 220 deals, $1 million or more, 98, $5 million, 70, $10 million. Record highs across the board. Results are clear indication, found value, both for with our customers, shared across the country. Contrast, enterprises that are not used, seen and without any core. This token model may be working in labs, not working with anyone else. It's breaking corporate budgets, without results to justify the expense. Worse, companies are paying to give away their most important secrets, the very basis for their competitive advantage. Audit is a their secret. From the training data foundation. On our side of the cap, what enterprises do? AI software, in the operation definition, data, logic, actions, an organization's data in its richness. We are fully aligned with our building a stack that enables compounding of their alpha. Our deep alignment allows our customers' ambitions and our own to become one. As Kirkland and Ellis highlighted, through our work with Palantir, we have built a new operating one that centralizes and compounds the expertise. Take days to analyze, discuss, and that happens in minutes. Possible. Not see this vendor relationship one off in depth. We think that revolution how our work. This cross industry. Feels we are testament, monumental. In our U.S. commercial business, 2.1 billion, 271%. A multinational technology company began working with us in the quarter of last year, one operating, expanded on their success with our have a revolutionary impact across their portfolio, creating to a three-year, $370 million. Customers are decisive and bold about taking the next. A global asset management firm started working with us in Q2, then converted last quarter to a $3.5 million team. Asset automation, investment lifecycle across four. After an 8 camp in May, software and service company and an initial our 5-month deal, a leading nonprofit health system, and a pilot at then last quarter partnership. Our U.S. government ordinary momentum across both defense and continue to take great pride in our U.S. government work, being our nation advanced, battle tested. I keep it. For Palantir, this. Our customers are making the go deep with us with greater urgency and conviction than I've ever AI sovereignty over dependence, compounding their alpha in a way that their competitors, adversaries, envy. I'll now turn it over.
Thanks, Ryan. Ryan just talked about the incredible customer momentum behind sovereign AI. I want to spend some time on the underlying product investments that position AIP it because it's the best, most ergonomic environment for AI in the enterprise. It integrates mixed mammal AI teams across heterogeneous, interdependent workflows, delivers the fastest tokens, real economic value for customers, complex, high-stakes environments. What makes it work is exquisite and data integration. Technology and actions, security and audit, workflow, SDK, agent orchestration, telemetry and mobility, and customer-specific benchmark, AIP Evolve, and our latest investment in post-training, both supervised fine-tuning and reinforcement. Every layer builds on our foundational every layer flows. This infrastructure captures the rich operational telemetry sounding loop, automated factory that funds the customer's boundary, creates intelligence, states. Last quarter, I said tokens are the new AIP. Now our customers build their own AIP for your sovereign AI is built, founded. We're excited for a new era, not one of bench maxing, but of bench making. The assumption that the frontier is actually the best performing is just not borne out in practice. In 24 hours of bringing Nemotron Ultra to our stacks, found 5 production tasks for a standard Nemotron Ultra model without post-training frontier model. This underscores that a handful of comp benchmarks can be that era, benchmaxing era, benchmaking, a customer benchmark, not just a skill decline, a normative orientation that directs your entire post-training pipeline. Defines what better means on your terms for your business or strategy, and everything optimizes against it. And because the benchmark is yours, the trade-offs become yours. AIP gives you the control plane to trade cost, performance, latency against each other. Decide where you run your weights versus workflow by workflow continuously. Now you can have a continuous cycle that compounds your alpha in weights. AIP was we continue to see that our product is winning head-to-head. The others are focused on productivity. We are laser-focused tokens, economic value for our customers. The reality is that the market has created far more intelligence than has converted. A more powerful model does not solve limiting factors the rate of AIP deployment. Major Valley Tech Company and a bake-off, Frontier Lab and its deployment team against AIP power for. Remember, only Palantir has FDE. Everyone else has sparkling sales engineers. The lab picked automation problem and failed to deliver anything of value against it. We built agents of our customer, actively recommending marketing, packaging, and pricing changes to drive revenue. And this work converted into a $10 million contract. The lab was shown the door. Same customer, same timeline, same models, The only difference was AIP, Palantir's FD tradecraft. It was determinative. It was an incredible quarter in U.S. government, measured not just by 90% year revenue growth, by mission impact. Haven continues to deliver for the factory floor to the foxhole. We had our first program, Maven platform, launched this past quarter. A government program of record chose Maven as the platform that operate their program in, taking advantage of our open data standards, technology, developer tools, peering, security, other platform primitives to get faster capabilities to the department's chosen command and control platform. Maven has also continued as a developer in platform over 25,000 builders, uniformed service members, contractors, and companies are developing agents and applications platform at this. All that growth, our Department of War trailing 12-month revenue is less than 25 basis points Pentagon's. Finally, last week we held our first American Builder Summit in D.C. to celebrate the Americans who stepped forward to American Tech Fellowship. Let them make the case that AI is creating jobs and prosperity by sharing their story, showing what they built. We created ATF because of applications of AI that we saw were being driven by people without traditional tech backgrounds, rural front lines, and factory floors. We now have over 1,000 ATF grads. One of our speakers, Jonah Abbott, as a submarine parts manufacturer 30 years ago, straight onto the factory floor, the proud blue-collar worker who still turns wrenches for built an AI application that took production planning from 30 to 40 days down to less than one. AI alone cannot do that. It takes AI in the hands of the American worker. Tribal knowledge earned through success and failure on the line sites only they have. The models are commodities, but American workers. I'll turn it over to Dave to take us through the numbers.
Thanks, Sean. We had a phenomenal second quarter, delivering our highest ever report growth rate of 93% and our highest ever adjusted free cash flow of $1.5 billion, representing a 63% margin and 150% growth year over year. We surpassed billion-dollar milestones in GAAP net income, adjusted free cash flow, and adjusted operating. Revenue in our U.S. business grew 150% year-over-year and 23% sequentially in the second quarter. Our U.S. commercial business accelerated to 149% year-over-year and 28% sequentially, and our U.S. government business grew 90% year-over-year and 18%. We closed $2.13 billion of U.S. commercial TCV bookings, representing growth of 150% year-over-year and 81% sequentially, nearly $800 million above our prior highest U.S. commercial bookings. We are seeing the immense demand of enterprises sovereign AI to retain full control of their alpha. On the back of this exceptional continued strength in the U.S., accelerating demand for our sovereign AI capability, we are raising our full-year U.S. commercial revenue guidance in excess of $3.4 billion, representing a growth rate of at least 134%. We're also raising our full year 2026 revenue guidance midpoint.
请关注公众号思维纪要社，更多纪要请加 V CN 20210130.
$8.154, representing 82% growth year over year, an 11-point increase over our full year 2026 revenue guidance from last quarter, and our largest ever full year guidance rate. Turning to our global top-line results, second quarter revenue grew 93% year-over-year and 19% sequentially, $1.935 billion. Second quarter U.S. revenue 115% year-over-year and 23% sequentially to $1.573 billion. Revenue from our largest customers continues to expand. Second quarter trailing 12-month revenue from our top 20 customers grew 67% year-over-year to $124 million per customer. Now moving to our commercial segment. Second quarter commercial revenue grew 110% year-over-year and 22% sequentially to $945 million. We closed $2.337 billion commercial TCV second quarter, representing 118% growth year-over-year. Our AI platform continues to dominate the U.S. market as the only real choice for operationalizing LLMs, particularly as more customers full ownership over data, logic, actions, and security of their enterprise. Second quarter U.S. commercial revenue grew 149% year-over-year and 28% sequentially, $764 million. We closed a record-setting $2.132 billion of U.S. commercial TCV bookings, representing growth of 150% year-over-year. Over the past 12 months, we closed $5.964 billion of U.S. commercial TCV, 117% increase prior 12 months, highlighting the accelerating demand for AI that creates real operational value. Total remaining deal value in our U.S. commercial business grew 124% year-over-year, 27% sequentially. Our U.S. commercial customer count grew 653 customers, reflecting growth of 35% year-over-year and 6% sequentially. Second quarter international commercial revenue grew 26% year-over-year and 2% sequentially to 180. Revenue from commercial contracts was approximately $400,000 for the quarter, representing 0.02% of overall. We continue to expect revenue from these contracts to be $500,000 the remaining quarter. Shifting to our government segment, second quarter government revenue grew 79% year-over-year and 15% sequentially, $990 million. Second quarter U.S. government revenue grew 90% year-over-year and 18% sequentially to $800 million. This growth continued to expand in these programs and new awards, growing demand for our AI platform. Second quarter international government revenue, 42% year-over-year, 5% sequentially, to $180 million. We closed $3.4 billion of TCV bookings, up 49% year-over-year, on a dollar-weighted 129%. Net dollar retention, 157%, an increase of 700 basis points from last quarter. We ended the second quarter with $13.1 billion total remaining deal value, an increase of 83% year-over-year and 11% sequentially, and $4.9 billion remaining performance obligation, an increase of 103% year-over-year and 10%. As a reminder, RPO is primarily comprised of our commercial business, as it does not take into account contracts with a term of less than 12 months, contractual obligations, termination for clauses, both of which are common. Turning to margin and expense. Adjusted gross margin, which is stock-based compensation expense, 86% for the quarter, and reflects an increase in costs associated taking on cloud hosting for one of our governments. While this change led to higher costs of revenue, going forward, we believe our faster time to value, drive greater efficiency, provide greater cost certainty to customers, and enable us to expand their future. Adjusted income from operations, stock-based compensation expense, and related employer payroll taxes, $1.194 billion in the second quarter, representing adjusted operating margin of 60%. Q2 adjusted expense, $741 million, up 14% sequentially, 37% year-over-year, primarily driven by investment, AI platform, and technical hiring. As in prior years, we expect to see a significant ramp in expense in the third quarter, seasonality of new hire starts, and other product and market. We remain committed to investing in most elite technical talent, as well as R&D for product pipeline, sovereign AI efforts, all while delivering sustained GAAP profitability. Second quarter GAAP operating income, $912 million, representing a 47%. Second quarter GAAP net income was $1.062 billion, representing 55% margin. Second quarter stock-based comp expense, $165 million, and equity-related employer payroll tax expense, $17. Second quarter GAAP earnings per share, 41 cents. Second quarter adjusted earnings per share was 40. Unrealized gains from FX resulted in a 2-cent tailwind GAAP EPS and a 2-cent tailwind adjusted EPS. Additionally, our combined revenue growth and adjusted operating margin accelerated to 155% second quarter, a 10-point increase to our rule of four from the prior quarter and our 12th consecutive quarter of an expanding rule. Turning to our cash flow. In the second quarter, we generated $1.216 billion cash from operations, $1 billion adjusted free cash flow, representing margins of 63%. We ended the quarter with $9.1 billion in cash, cash equivalents, short term. Now turning to our outlook. For Q3 2026, we expect revenue of between $2.16 and $2.164 billion. Adjusted income from operations, $1.292 and $1.296 billion. For full year 2026, we are raising our revenue guidance to $8.15 and $8.158 billion. We are raising our U.S. commercial revenue guidance to an excess of $3.424 billion, representing a growth of 134%. We are raising our adjusted income from operations guidance to 4.889 and 4.897 billion. We are raising our adjusted free cash flow guidance to 4.5 and 4.7 billion. And we continue to expect GAAP operating income and net income in each quarter. With that, I'll turn it over to Alex for a few remarks, and then Anna will kick off.
Obviously, we are loving these results and loving what they for our customers and broadly speaking, West. So reflections on how we got to 93% aggregate growth, just under 100% growth in U.S. commercial, and an aggregate growth of 115% in America, which is astonishing, even surpassing the already anomalous results we've posted in the past, and at a very significant scale. And the story really does begin at the beginning when we dedicated ourselves to our most important partners in the U.S. government, and built products, deliver value for them. We delivered those value for those for them by looking at the world in its naked state. Did not have we did not have AI available. We had to work with NLP. So we had to develop forward deployed engineer model to extend the technology and value. The nascent version of Ontology was developed. Tom, Aki, others strapped BlackBerries around their head and made code work in sensitive environments. And what we learned and what was built into this company that there are things, value structures that are more important than purely extracting value from the client. And we projected the way in which we fought in Silicon Valley to build a software company at the time. Palantir, of course, is now both infrastructure, software, FD, orchestration, and business know-how. It's a complete hybrid. But at the time, we were told our job was to trick the clients and giving us money for something that made them attached to us, but really, really added no value. So essentially a parasitic model. And in the rejection of that, we fully aligned our partners. Now, we to do that, as we built PG, Foundry, Gaia, Maven, Ontology, AIP. Now we're taking the AIP stack and extending it for sovereign AI, which requires us to be able to orchestrate and fine-tune models, provide a complete sovereign stack to our partners. What is the philosophical that we are offering a present that that augurs want to live in? What does that future look like? We have more rights, frame, safer in the sovereign AI frame, arguably by far the most important because all these other things downstream growth and health. And what if we transform America? Only democracy that actually grows, production is more efficient, manufacturing happens. What is that frame? That frame is not going to buy in. You have no job, where adversaries win, and everybody who does win, a small, tiny group, tiny place, somehow believe because they eat vegetables and they don't support war fighters that serve to have the total meat production of the country, and the rest of us could just sit back and absorb the cost of that revolution, which we're paying for. How are we paying for it? In the enterprise context, people sign up for token self-pleasuring, and those that and that at a real cost, like other forms, where are paying for the right for them to migrate your IP, your know-how, your expertise to their model, so that they can build a company that doesn't require your business, your people. And why are they doing? Actually, done for moral reasons. They deserve. Colonize your enterprise, serve to be colonized. Palantir And A, it's interesting, it doesn't work as well, as efficient, purely on the alpha side, as having an application layer, owning your compute, with built a partnership with NVIDIA, owning our application layer, going to enter the market and already entering classified space, Tom alluded to, of fine-tuned models, that the models actually fine-tuned by us in our enterprise on stack outperform frontier models. And you own the weights, you own the alpha, you own everything. Every single enterprise in this country is going to look at doing this, find ways of doing it, or at least avoid the alternative of unprotected interaction with frontier models. Very dangerous. You were warned about this in high school, and now you're learning about it in your enterprise. And Palantir, we are on the front of driving this revolution. I am driving the business grow at a rate or above to what we have in U.S. commercial for the next 18 months. It's a very high goal, but it is one we can actually get to because we are fully aligned with what's right and what's good and what actually works well in an enterprise. And for the first time, people believe us. And if you did believe us, you can believe 149% growth in the U.S., a rule of 40, that's 155, 93% aggregate growth, and 90% growth was calm with 263% free cash flow margins. People thought we would be profitable. So this is one of the more exciting times to be at Palantir. It's one of the more exciting times to participate in Palantir. And for everyone on the sidelines, you got to get off the sidelines. This is a revolution that will affect the sovereign revolution and in it will affect livelihood, care, and whether America and the West win. We cannot regress to a thin philosophical model where only a small group of people who think very differently than most of us actually absorb all of the revenue and value in our business, transfer all the data to us. And that's what this revolution is about, and it's extremely motivating for us at Palantir.
Our first question is from Dan with Yorkville Ives. Dan, please turn on your camera. And back to Dan. Our next question is from Mariana with Bank of America. Mariana, please turn on your camera and then prompt to unmute.
I think I'm good. Thank you. Can you walk the province? What did you learn talking to customers maybe you weren't expecting? Obviously, can you talk about?
Well, first of all, for those of you not in the know, we did a sovereign boot camp after this kind of revolution exploded. And just to give the backdrop here, 2 years ago, we spent 4 or 5 months, Sasha, who runs this, organizing AIPCon. This was much more like, hey, let's invite our buddies over to lunch. And then all of a sudden, we start getting bombarded by people we invited, people didn't invite, all levels of business. So, like, when you're working in enterprise, it's really important that the operational people are interested. So it was like CEOs, operational leads. And there's a huge educational component. Tom talks about this a lot. Like, people understand that they need a way of controlling their alpha. They understand broadly that token maxing is at their own cost. And they certainly understand that token maxing is to them transferring their data, their prompts, the way they run their business, their expertise to a third party. But they don't. They need education on what they can do about that with us, preferably, but also without us. How do you do contracts? How do you work with open weight models? How do you work with closed weight models? How does this work in ontology? Is ontology the protective layer that they've been told? Does it create value the way they? How would this look in their own business? And how would they work with the compute stack? And so just this massive, and we're in the business of educating people, both our customers and others. It was a heterodox group of people, both in terms of the kind of people showed up, demand for it, and also not worked for. By the way, one of the reasons NDR number is so strong, ridiculously strong. I mean, people always write these things about customer adoption and maybe, but the NDR number is anomalously strong. that is also going to shift in a, even as hard as it become even more positive, because some of our older partners we haven't really interacted with, they also showed up. They're like, oh, okay, now we get why we would, and not just Foundry. They're migrating across our stack. So customers that were only Foundry now want Ontology, now want to be part of the Sovereign AI stack. I would say, last not least, you're asking the internal version, external version, internally. Recruiting, retention, excitement at Palantir. I'm very excited. I think the people around this table are very excited. The legal department is excited. That hasn't happened. That's like, that doesn't happen. Like, they're out, like, rock on. It's more fun. There's just, that's the way it's down. And I think this is the way, this internally is, what portion of the market is it want to create value? Mean create value, and that portion of the market has gone from a small portion of the market where we are to like a large part of the, and that's why we need partners. Behind the scenes now, we're trying to find partners. Now, partners, we technically competent partners. Partners doesn't mean a vassal. You don't have to agree on every issue. You don't even have to agree. They can occasionally. Defense tech stuff. Back in Sham, like the approach to defense tech where we partner doesn't, sometimes we compete, but we're marching in a direction allows us to, those things are very big part of, like, essentially guide. Why am I pushing the company to grow not to the just end of the year, next year? Because that also us to find ways to scale to meet the out there.
Alex, our next question is from Ariana with Bank of America. Ariana, please turn on your camera and then your
one. So a follow-up to all this AI revolution started, right? Was really clear for enterprises and proprietary data how you train your model going to. But then we're like 3 years into now everyone's realize, oh, owning my data and whatever, or learn from my data is important. What happened? Why think that of back then, the different approach to AI that enterprises weren't able to, and why these numbers, winner of AI today, wasn't that clear for any other software application back then?
Well, I kind of divide it up into two parts. There's the first part is efficacy. Second part is efficiency. That's not quite the right word, but it's like, how do you scale it? Zero to one phase, much more important to focus on the application layer. Okay, this new thing happened. How do we turn that into economic value? And as people started to experience the economic value, and as time started happening, you started to see some of the people, partners out there were building things that were competitive. I think that took some time to kind of, for the psyche and mindset of, wait a second, maybe not, now I know this, valuable, right hands on the right platform, but I also am going to need the alpha that is being generated. Is it simply that's resident in my enterprise? It's also the metadata, the reasoning traces, the loss, the use of this, which I don't yet have mechanisms. And now I understand that's actually probably more valuable than just the data. That's been a clarion call, I think, for the market over the last quarter, 2 quarters.
There's also the question implicit in your question is, why did we break? And, again, I think it's we are actually fully aligned with our partners. Sometimes we make decisions, that are against our economic interests. Like, we're supporting lots of institutions in Europe. The growth sucks. I mean, clandestine. But without our products, they would have rampant terrorism and their problems, their migration problems, and results would be 10 times worse. Not actually in our economic interest anymore to do this, but we still do it. And it's because we actually are believers, for better or worse. I would say also, this is a company that from the beginning, inception valued artistic insights. I mean, you can't model something purely on science. You have to have an aesthetic or artistic appreciation. And we've made huge bets, everyone at this table, and many, many hundreds of people at Palantir have essentially artistic insights. We've always viewed ourselves, always said we're a colony of artists, and assume that means difficult. And that's also true. But, you know, it's also we value insights that are way before anyone else would see them. And we build major parts of our business. That's very hard for normal business to do because, I mean, one of the jokes running around Palantir, we can definitely meet our guide next year if we get paid for all the people copying us. You know, so we get a small portion of people copy, you know, of the funds for the copiers, do very well. Normal business is, again, no critique here, are built around, there was a playbook, you execute on that playbook, and we're in a non-playbook world. So execute on a playbook that worked 5, 10 years ago, essentially build parasitic software, monetize it, that doesn't work now. And there's hundreds of variants of that, but that is a central advantage we have. We are a colony of believers and artists that are very motivated to drive value. And that sets us aside much more than I would have imagined 10 years ago. That's the same question. And then luckily for us, this is capitalism. I mean, DSA wants to get rid of it, but until they do, got to look at the results. Because if our results, and the other thing I'll tell you that's very special for us, we are outsiders. Outsiders, like you're an outsider. Come to this country, better have really good results. You know, and like the same thing for Palantir. We know we need the best results. People aren't buying our product because we're swinging the golf club correctly or paying for the steak dinner. They don't even invite us to steak dinner. So that's, and that outsider status has caused huge problems, but in the first 18 years, but a lot of benefits in the next 18 years. And other people, outsiders, I'm struggling with our current popularity.
Our next question is from Gail with DA Davidson. Gail, please.
Thank you. The topic of sovereignty, you focused a lot on how dangerous to give the keys to the labs because they could choose to. Is there another aspect of this? Well, though, if you choose a lab and you buy the orchestration thing and the harnesses of them, you're beholden to their model. And if something happened, it's not the best model anymore. If the model gets pulled, then you as a customer stuck and they have a mission. This isn't hypothetical. It happened a couple of times this year where one of the frontier models got pulled by either the government or the company. Well, if you work with Palantir, I would assume that when that happens, you, hey, that model doesn't, I can plug in another model.
We're already doing it across the U.S. government, product that allows you to switch out models. Look, at the end of the day, if you are locked into a product, that's the nature of monopoly capitalism. That's why people want the lock in, because then they can raise the prices and quality. We're against that because we're on the side of American worker, the American people, and its great institutions and other institutions across the West. But yes, they're, you know, and people who are running big enterprises in this country are very sophisticated. They're aware of these risks. And they don't like people who are kind of flaunting, like, setting this up so that they feel they're being fun of or they're a sucker. So there's a lot of anger here. I spend, interestingly, a fair bit of my time trying to explain to people, you know, some of the people involved in these, they're not the caricatures they think they are, but because business setup looks like heads I win, tails I win. American business people don't like that. But then, I don't know, there's a lot of things on the factual front that would support that.
Yeah, I would say, like, that's, you know, our whole focus is converting tokens to value. The example Sham gave, that's happening across the board in the conversation with customers. That's why they're looking to expand, to convert how they position themselves in the industry, in their industry. So we're seeing, like, extreme alignment. It's not about being beholden to one model. It's about bringing the right models, right purposes, and our contracts, our structures are set up to support and compound their output.
I think, you know, I mentioned it earlier, but you're going to see this, like, we've been beholden to number of benchmarks, but been designing models and releasing models saying, like, look how well it does on benchmark. The benchmark has actually was nothing to do with your business. But so how do you figure out how to make the benchmark that represents your reality, what you're trying to succeed at, what you're trying to get better at? and then see what model makes sense. And the natural consequence of doing that, aside all of your other arguments for sovereignty, it's like, oh, how do I climb that hill? How do I figure out what it is that I do as I feed back into weights that I can control, which opposes the open model and sovereignty. And then you're not just going to do that where you're waiting, hey, maybe I'll switch out when the model gets pulled and the rug gets pulled out from underneath. You're actually leveraging the automation to do that constantly. Figure out when you have a next checkpoint that you can import, maybe there's a new model. I mentioned the example, I literally almost felt gaslit.
请关注公众号思维纪要社, 更多纪要请加V, CN2021-0130.
When in 24 hours of getting Nemotron up with no post-training, still a Nemotron Ultra, it did better than Frontier. You know, if you just looked at the numbers, you would say, well, it's no, that shouldn't even be possible. But of course, benchmarks are wrong. I mean, the benchmarks are right for what the benchmarks measure. That's not my business. Those are not the tasks my customers had that they were trying to solve. So then empirical basis, I think, is how we're going to accelerate the realization of tokens to real economic value.
Alex is.
Well, you know, your support has crucial to getting us this far, and you know, crucial to getting us to where we're going to go, which is a much, 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 much larger company. This is one of the most exciting times to be involved in the Palantir mission. We are going to help transform, especially this country, but allied countries, both in commercial and government, and this sovereign frame that is we're using as our organizational principle, one that is inclusive of everybody who wants to have a better world today and tomorrow. And we invite everyone to engage with it in some form. Thank you.